Freunde, bevor wir jetzt hier anfangen, noch mal ganz kurz ein Hinweis in eigener Sache. Wenn ihr in Zukunft plant, euch Tattoo-Equipment zuzulegen, kann ich euch wirklich nur ans Herz legen, guckt euch vorher einmal eben kurz unsere Webseite an, www.tftn-podcast.com. Da findet ihr unter dem Reiter Deals nämlich richtig viele geile Deals. In den meisten Fällen bekommt ihr 10%, zum Beispiel bei Coal Black Tattoo Supply, bei Cheyenne Professional Tattoo Equipment, bei Killer Ink Supply, bei Chaos Nero und bei Muro Star, just to name a few. Die Liste wird ständig erweitert, deswegen guckt vorher vorbei, www.tftn-podcast.com oder über die Shownotes. Und jetzt wünsche ich euch viel Spaß mit dem Podcast. Bis später.
You've been in jail in different countries, you know. Yeah, you've been threatened with your life, whatever. So,
and I slept on the streets.
You slept on the streets, man. So what is there left? You know, basically almost nothing.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was reborn.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by our friends from Cheyenne Professional Tattoo Equipment. Made with love, made for artists, made in Germany.
Ladies and gentlemen, a warm welcome to the second episode of the Tales from the Needle podcast. This time a very, very first one in the second episode in person here in my little studio. Let's say hi to our guest today, Humansky.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Yeah.
Have you slept well?
Really good. Last night before getting into hotel, I got a little bit confused. Like, what am I doing? Am I should go to sleep? Like, it was really tough. The day stairs, crazy.
We went hiking. We're actually here in Jena recording for all the people listening. And yesterday we went on a hike, which is usually my let's say jogging trail. And it's just, I call them the stairs of death because it's like 600 of them.
Yeah, there were quite a lot of them.
So actually, you did a long travel. Where are you from? Please introduce yourself to the people who don't know you already.
Sure. My name is Homand Marika. I come from Syria originally. I was born there and raised up. And I came to Europe around 10 years ago. I live in Sweden right now. And I have a little studio there. It's been 1 year. Yeah, private, cozy.
Best.
Yeah, crazy time.
Does it have a name, the studio you work?
It's Humansky.
Oh, just Humansky.
My name.
And how come that you call yourself Humansky when you're named Human?
That's just a funny story. I used to work in a shop in Denmark, and my colleague once just like calling me, and they used to call me Homie. I like my homie, you know.
Which is pretty nice.
Yes, for real. Like, I was homie for everyone. So once she just called me Humansky, and it sounded really funny, you know. I liked it. Yeah, it sounded really artistic. So, I go for it.
And then you stick with it.
Yes.
Yeah, fun. How long have you been a tattoo artist?
So, I've done it since I was 15. I would say I started it at home. But I would say professionally at studios since 2016. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 8 years.
Damn, man, it's 8 years, almost 8 years. Yeah. And you started to tattoo like professionally also in Syria, or you tried it here in Europe?
Yeah, like I said, it's professionally at studios. I started 2016. Before, I was 15 years old, you know, in the neighborhood where you do just drawings and, you know, sunny days and have nothing to do as a kid. And once a friend passed by, like, hey, I know you're really good at drawing, please can you draw on my arm, I'm getting a tattoo. And the guy, he's just, you know, home tattoo. I'm like, okay, sure, I can draw it, no worries. And he wanted a skull with the, you know, typical two wings with one bat and ego. Yeah, and I drew it, and he was like, please, it's summer day, it's really hot, it might go loose, you know, or disappear, can you follow me to the artist so maybe you can go over it and retouch it? I'm like, yeah, sure. And as soon as you get there, and the guy saw the drawing, he was like, who the fuck did it? And this dude, oh, you're a tattooer? I said, no. And like, you want to try? I was like, yeah, sure.
Of course.
And then the first wipe, you know, first line and wipe, I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's me. cool. I want to do this every day. It was the first moment.
But it wasn't like the first thing that you did actually, like after that, right?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, of course. I started to do on friends and just like for fun, I would say. Yeah.
How hard is it to get like equipment in Syria?
Really hard. Back in the days, we had no suppliers at all. I mean, nothing. So, like prison style, you do your own machine.
You ever built one yourself?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I made my own needles, magnums, actually, that day. I was like always wondering. I took all my mom's needles. She was a tailor. She used to be there. So I steal her needles and make them into...
Really? You
know, yeah.
So you soldered them yourself?
Yeah.
Kind of like...
Yeah. Yeah, I made my own mags, like I melt own needle together beside each other just to make bigger, like pack bigger space in shorter time.
Okay, cool. And how did you build your machine? Like with a how's it called? Like a razor, an electrical?
No, you know, we had this control by cards. Yeah.
Okay.
So in the dynamic in it, the machine and the motor of it. So you take the car out when it's broken and you use it. So we have like also,
no worries.
So you have a pen and you know, you remove the ball pen from inside.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You stick the needle in and hang it with the motor.
Have you seen the stuff that you did in that time nowadays?
I tried to make one and I didn't finish it. It was my son being around and he asked a lot, you know, he's 5 years old. So it's in the process.
Fun.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how come that you went to Europe? So,
well, honestly, it was war, the biggest reason. Again, Syria, as you know, everybody know. So art down there is really, I would say, forgettable. Like it's worthless for people, I would say. Not so many would be interested in art in Syria, and tattoo especially. I mean, it's something very, you know, uncommon.
What do you think, what's the reason for this? Because like
religiously, I would say it's a religious thing. Like it's haram, you can't get a tattoo on your body.
Because like I think in Syria, weren't there these old statues? Wasn't it there?
Yeah, we have a lot of methods and statues, really old. The Palmyras and many, many castles, like from 4,000 years old.
That's so cool. Like an ancient high culture, you know?
Yeah. Syria, Damascus is one of the oldest capitals in the world. It's the oldest capital actually in the world.
Really?
Yes, Damascus.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's older than 5,000 years old.
Cool. And you've been directly from Damascus, or?
I come from the northern east of Syria, but I used to study in Damascus at the university there. And there I also tattoo while I'm studying sometimes.
Yeah. And what was the point? Like, okay, then the war broke loose and everything. And what was the situation, the point where you said, okay, I need to leave? Because like for me to explain this, I don't know if I would be capable like to say, of course, like German is always that you are complaining about the state and complaining about your luxury problems and stuff, you know, but like if you ask people, why don't you move somewhere else, which would be not a big deal, you know, but everybody will be like, yeah, okay, probably not.
Yeah.
Better stick to the
situation. To be forced to move from a country is different than do it by yourself. Like I was examining at the university my first year, and suddenly a bomb just exploded beside the university, like 700 meters from our facility of art. And there, you know, we were examining and all the windows just crashed down and, you know, everyone just started, you know, it was horrible. People run, students start to run away, and student rebels, who, when they were in the university, they start to protesting and there were police everywhere, taking students from everywhere. So if you run, you gotta make it. You need to run from there. As a student, you have nothing to do there. My dad saw it on the news and he called me right away, like, take the first bus and come back. And it's like 10 hours bus back home. Yeah, I did it. I went back and my dad tried to smuggle me out of the country because they want to take all students who are not studying at the moment. Because I left my university, I would be forced to go to the army. And that's why I had to run.
Have you ever been to the army before?
No.
Is there something like an army service that you are forced
to? No. Of course it's forced, but I had to do it after university.
Oh, okay. Like,
yeah. But as I said, it was first year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, leaving the studying, you would be forced. You would be forced to go if you leave your university at a certain moment. So my dad tried to smuggle me away. And that was the reason why I had to leave. But I would say the thing that pushed me into doing it was also a love story I had in like my beloved got married and I'm like, okay, I have no place here.
Okay.
So, it was a bit of private story and also the war, really big reason that I couldn't stay there anymore. The first thing I thought about was like, what I'm going to do. Mm. And what I love to do is tattooing. Mm. And I love to paint. I love to draw. I love to do that all the time. And that was the first thing I thought about. I put it as a goal for myself. Like, this is
something you want to do.
Exactly. I'm going to work hard for it. And I see myself that I can do it. And I can see myself that I can be there in the top between all of them good artists. And I'm very grateful that I'm part of a little dot on this ocean.
But you are definitely, man. You are a crazy good artist and
appreciate. You
made it. As somebody who is on the outside, I can tell you, countless other people may have told you before, but damn, man, you made it. So sick. And how come so... your dad tried to smuggle you out of the country and what you have had any clue where to go at first or any plans? What was the plan afterwards?
The plan was like I should go and continue studying in Iraq. There was this neighbor country. I did it. I went there. I actually applied for studying there at the American University there. So I went there as a refugee, because there you can, as a refugee, have many other options to study. You will be studying for free, probably.
Oh, cool.
So I applied there for a university and there I made online exam and I took 6.5 from 10.
Oh, cool.
And we were more than 360 students, I can remember. There they took only 8. Students from all these, number. And my grade was not, I would say, bad. But there were so many, corruption in there.
Yeah.
People who knows, who has contacts, they get opportunity to.
Yeah, it's the same. From, it's the same as everywhere, I guess.
Yeah. So I got disappointed, kind of. Like, studying is not me.
Did you study? I remember that I haven't asked you what you studied.
It was, I always wanted to go to Faculty of Art and studying art in art. But my dad, in Syria, you can't do what you want to do. So he forced me to go to do English instead, to be a teacher or a translator. So I like English. I studied, I think it was English literature school.
Okay.
Yeah, Faculty of Art. I didn't like it, but poetry and shit,
It was at least something.
Shakespeare's.
Shakespeare. We used to read Shakespeare in school. And it's just the ancient language, that was, I mean, for me, it's also not hard to understand English, but like the Shakespearean, you know, like wording is always just like, oh, okay, what the fuck does he mean? I don't know.
like I'll tell you an example. Beauty weapons. Beauty weapons is the makeup.
Beauty weapons?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't heard that term
makeup
before.
And, you know, when the girl sitting in front of the toilet and making her makeup. It's crazy.
Okay. So, and in Iraq, then you studied art there and then found out, okay, this is probably nothing.
Exactly. Yeah, it was in Syria I did art school. But yeah.
In Iraq, you studied the English.
Exactly. And there... didn't work. Mm-hmm. So I was like, no, it's not me. I got to go and find a job. And I started at a barbershop. And yeah, 3-4 months, I was tattooing in the night and cutting hairs.
Cool.
In the morning. And a guy one day came and he offered me a job in his hotel. His sister owns a hotel and he's a CEO manager, and he wants me to be, the manager on the employees.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. Like, I speak different languages, and for him was super interesting.
Yeah.
And I do tattoos, and he was young and as me, and let's do it. And from a barber to a hotel manager.
Yeah.
4-star hotel, and the owner, she just like, you tattooing? I want a tattoo from you.
Really?
Yeah, story like that.
Is it easier? Was it easier in Iraq? Like, I'm really much not familiar with the complete tattooing culture, like in Arab countries. From time to time, I see some people on Instagram, but like, it's barely also like when you go to the, not world-class artists, but it's rare that you see like people from Arab countries there. And it's so cool to see it because I get to know that there's actually a very
big community
about tattooing because I thought like it's not going to happen there.
Yeah, actually Iraq has supplies and has tattoo supplies and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. They have many shops in Iraq, in Baghdad, in the capital. I was in Erbil, Hawler. And there, I mean, it's mini Dubai. It's really, really crazy.
Like
high scrapers and all the cars are really luxury. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy life. But people there, they're mostly Muslim and really, really religious. So, even or being like that out and, you know, partying and getting tattooed and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, even being a religious or being the opposite.
Yeah, okay.
There's nothing in between.
So that's just two extremes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they go really too extreme in both sides.
Yeah. Damn, and someday I would really like to go there to see everything because also there are so many ancient buildings and stuff.
Yeah, and the nature is amazing down there. The nature is really beautiful down there too.
Yeah.
In north of Iraq, where I've been,
it's some it's pretty much deserty, right?
In the south, yes.
Yeah.
But the north, mountain areas and waterfalls and rivers, it's super
like
beautiful.
Where like Euphrates and Tigris, I think.
Yeah. We exactly. With this warm water. Mineral water. Mineral springs.
Cool. Yeah, it's just like a world that has not been unlocked for me yet. So this is cool.
No,
I'm going to Egypt like this year the first time. So this will be my very first experience.
Really interesting, yes.
Yep. My problem is usually the temperatures because I can't handle like when it's too hot. When I was in Texas, for example, it was crazy for me because I thought like, oh, okay, this is how it goes.
I'm melting here.
Yeah, definitely, man. And
I know that feeling.
So, and what was the next station after Iraq? So how come the translation to do something different and you've been invited to become a hotel manager? What happened next?
What I did, I didn't feel good there because what I was aiming for is improving my skills and doing better job and being professional as a tattoo artist.
Mm.
It wasn't the right place to grow up. And to make this path.
Mm-hmm.
So So I decided to go to Europe because all of my friends, they went to Europe by help of their parents and to even study or become refugee or whatever. The thing was the economically had issues, like problem with that. So that was the biggest reason I couldn't stay there. You know, I don't want to be a hotel manager. I don't want to be a barber.
You want to be a tattoo artist.
Yes. So it wasn't the right place for me. I went to Turkey. Mm-hmm. I went back to Syria, actually, to see my parents. It was a year after that. So it was the end of 2012 somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think autumn. Yeah, I went back to Syria for 1 week. I met my family again. And then I continued my way to Turkey. What's the next step? Turkey. Yeah. I had a really great story. I told you the story.
Yeah.
That was a miracle what happened. Yeah, Turkey is the first place to go to if you want to go to Europe. There you're going to spread to Europe, you know, the path to Europe. So I was in Istanbul and yeah, I worked as a tailor sometime just to get by, you know, a new country, new language. You don't know anybody.
Yeah.
And you just met a guy and some contact, you know, oh, he can offer you a job in a tailor factory. Yeah, there, again, like, I can't work here for 1 month. I was there. I got like $200 and it was, it's not even enough for a hiking trip. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, it was really hard. But I made my way to Bulgaria.
Mm-hmm.
So, there everything started, like the new lifestyle, the new Homansky.
Yeah. was it you got like a cultural shock?
Yes.
Afterwards?
Yes.
So like to come to a completely different.
I can tell you this. I was in the jail first when you come as a refugee, put you and, you know, check you out and if you have disease and stuff like that. After 5 days there, I had no shower, nothing. And the last day they let us go out in the, you know, there's a like garden outside. There's a little water pipe from the old Russian times, you know, and I just put my head under the pipe and I want to just, you know, rub my hair, and I just saw in my palms like pool of hair. I don't know, like thousands of them. They fall out like, oh, it's crazy. Everything fall out almost once. Like, it was an insane shock for me. I don't know. I cried that moment. I just felt like, okay, I think I'm reborn now, you know.
Okay.
Like in that way, you know.
You think it was because of the stress?
Or like— I think yes. Also being abused like that way and being in jail and being checked and getting naked and all that, you know. Taking you and, you know, being treated like
an animal.
I don't know what to say. It wasn't right feeling, you know, for a human being to feel like that.
Especially like if you're, I don't know, this is also something I don't understand, why there are so many prejudices, not even prejudices, but the people, like here in Germany, it's also like this, sadly, to be honest, that they are looking at the refugees who flee from war, you know, like their life is being threatened. And here there's basically, let's say, like the major community, they are like, okay, welcoming and stuff, which is nice. But we also have these people who look, I mean, they think the people here with the prejudices against like migrants, it's always like, yeah, they just come here, you know, to benefit like economically from it. And the funny part is that they are also on social service, you know, so that they receive money from the government because some of them are also not working. And I think for me, it's just, I can't understand this because it's not that you just bought yourself a flight ticket and went to Berlin, you know, and then came off.
It's crazy. I came here to your country and I really need some food. I need protection from you. I run from a war.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You can help me. I would be really grateful. If not, just leave me alone, man.
Yeah.
Just let me be. And yeah, don't disturb me.
How long have you been to Bulgaria?
So it was 2013. Mm-hmm. I entered Bulgaria, I think, September. And I stayed there for like two and a half years. I got my documents after 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And after 1.5 years, I got the passport. Then I can travel mm-hmm. document. Can travel. And then I can first step was thinking about traveling to come west, you know, mm-hmm. and meet the tattoo community and be member and part of it. My first thing I got, as I said, I had a girlfriend in Bulgaria,
mm-hmm.
and she bought me a tattoo machine on my birthday. There had no tattoo machine that time, you know, when I flee to Bulgaria. So there I started tattooing again, like home, friends, friends of her and so on. But yeah, I would say twice a year or three times, I would say.
Where did you get, like, okay, you had the machine, and what about like needles and color?
Yeah, I had a bunch of them. Supplies. She bought me a pack from Amazon.
Ah, you know? Cool. Yeah. The Chinese ones. Yes. Yeah. I started with this too.
Yeah.
Got my first coil machine, I think from IMAX. And then it was also like a complete set, and I saved up money for it. And then I just went.
Yeah, I was so happy seeing these colors and needles. I'm like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish I had these needles in Syria. Like,
it's sometimes cool when you're an artist just to get new supplies. It just makes something with you, you know.
Of course.
Uh-huh. It's just, oh, okay, I got a new brush, I got a new this.
That kid in Christmas.
Yeah, you know? Like that. This is cool. And then you came from Bulgaria straight to Germany.
Actually, I went to Austria. I went to Austria, and there I had some friends that they lived there before, and mm-hmm. you know, they have some community, and they asked me, like, if we are a couple, many people, would you come and tattoo us? I'm like, sure, gather yourself, I'm coming. So the first time I went to Austria, I was there for 3 months, and I made a couple of tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was so happy that I started to do the thing, but it's still home tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that Austria is the place that I want to live. So I went to Germany, where many family members live here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And went to my uncle, who lives in Kassel.
Mm-hmm.
And there...
Hessen.
Yeah. I was there for a while, and I applied for asylum here,
mm-hmm.
as a refugee. And I was sent to Dortmund, mm-hmm. Lünen.
Yeah,
Auf dem Ringe. I can remember the street,
which is funny because I'm originally from that area, Dortmund, like 40 minutes away from it.
He said, amazing, Dortmund.
Dortmund. Yeah, you liked it. So, what was your first thought when you came to Germany? Like, about landscape, about the people.
Well, of course, you always hear Germany is the mother of Europe.
Yeah.
You're welcome here.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. This is what we know about Germany. Germany is the place where the wheat is. Where the... Okay, you have beer. You have...
Yeah.
You know, you make beers from wheats.
Yeah. No? Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, so there is... bread, there is life.
Okay, that's good. That's life really, there.
What, mm-hmm. that's what we have point of. And about for me personally, it was the language that made me a little bit confused about the country, because I couldn't speak German, and wherever I go, my English didn't work. So it was a struggle for me, and that's why I would say, like, it was the biggest reason that I couldn't start here in Germany, because of my language.
Yeah.
I went to a shop, a couple of shops,
mm-hmm.
and I introduced myself, and I showed them some works that I've done at home. And this is my portfolio. I really want to learn whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to start my career.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you have no place here. I'm like,
This is so fucking unfair. I mean, like when you, for also for the listeners, like when you, when people hear what path you took to come here, you know, just to get like a tattoo apprenticeship and stuff, and just being sent away by some Uwe, you know, who just checks through your work and be like, yeah, yeah, okay, whatever. So
yeah, I was just ignored right away. I tried my, but it didn't work out. But I had a contact in Denmark. Since I was the time I was in Bulgaria, my sister's friend, she lived in Denmark, and she told me that there is a dude from Syria who owns the shop here, and there are so many people working there. And it was interesting, like a Syrian guy who owns a tattoo shop, and so many artists working there. And I checked them out, really good artists. I'm like, I would love to be part of the team.
Yeah. You know?
So I contacted the guy. I don't want to say names. I went there and everything was cool. So from Germany, I was in Bulgaria, I had the contact. But when I came to Germany, after 1 year, I was waiting for my documents. It didn't work out. You know, waiting. And, you know,
German bureaucracy is horrible, man, especially for foreigners, for refugees.
So many people.
I don't understand it. Yeah, you know, because like Germany has this weird rule where when we get some refugees here, there's, I mean, you know better than me because you've been there that situation personally. But I don't understand why it's not okay. When we let people come, or if we say, okay, you're allowed to stay here, there's this German term. I don't know how to translate it properly, but like Duldung, you know?
No.
Where you can, so they say, yeah, okay, you can be here, but you actually don't have a status.
You can't leave
the city.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to work. Yeah. And this can be up to forever.
Yes. I know many examples.
I don't get it. Because like, why won't you say like, okay, do you have your documents with yourself? Okay. All right. Then if you're staying, of course you can work, because what the fuck are you supposed to do? You know, just living on state costs. I mean, you're a grown up man. Everybody's just searching for his luck, and nobody wants to be treated like a prisoner, especially not when the worst crime he did was like fleeing from war. I don't understand this really, man. Because if you ask me, I think personally the workflow should be like, okay, let the people come, let's check, let's let that take like, let's say 8 weeks, whatever. And then you say, okay, you are approved, and then you can work here and build up your life. Or you're being sent to another state or whatever if you are rejected.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. We are called the aliens and the third country. We are unknown for the government.
Yeah.
Those kind of examples when it happens. And that's really terrible because, as you say, you can't work. You can't do anything. You have no bank account. You basically has no existence.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
You are not you are not treated equal, and this is something that is really like, I don't think it's good.
And now some advertising.
Hey, my fellow tattoo artist friends. Are you tired of using equipment that just doesn't cut it? Upgrade to Cheyenne professional tattoo equipment today. It's made in Germany. It's made in Berlin. Cheyenne tattoo equipment is world renowned for its quality and precision. And with the wireless Solnova unlimited tattoo machine, you'll have the freedom to create incredible designs without any pesky cords getting in the way. And let's just skip to the best part, because kids, I have a small deal for you. Use the discount code TAILS10 to get 10% off your first purchase of CheyenneTattoo.com. That's 10% off the entire purchase. For example, if you want to buy some new machines, some new cartridges, 10% saves a lot of money. As a fellow artist, I personally recommend the Solnova Unlimited 4.0 for its versatility, but if you're into lettering like me, the 5.0 is the way to go. So don't wait, visit CheyenneTattoo.com and use the discount code TAILS10 today and upgrade your tattoo game with Cheyenne professional tattoo equipment. All information in the show notes. You'll also find the discount code in the link in our Instagram bio. TAILS10 saves 10% off your first purchase on CheyenneTattoo.com.
Back to the show.
I know people personally who work for the state in that situation. And the problem with some of these people, I would say most of the people, is that for them, it's just their job. So they don't see what's behind it, you know, that you are deciding over human existence. And I understand that you're becoming numb the more you work in it.
Yeah.
And for you, it's just a case, but for someone else, it's its life, you know. But my wife, for example, she also works in that way, and she's completely different because she sees like the person behind it, and she knows about her that it's in her hands what happens.
Yeah, like, exactly. She's responsible. Yeah. Like
she knows about her responsibility, and this is something that is not taken seriously enough here in Germany.
Yeah.
If you ask me,
I get it. No, I get it. And my point was like waiting is not. It is part of the process, you know.
Of course.
There are so many people who are hanging there with no right to leave or have address.
Years, man. Yes, I listened to a podcast where somebody was in that state for 10 fucking years. Imagine that. And then they wonder why the people are going out, you know, doing businesses, crimes. Because everybody is up for a good life and not for the life like as a prisoner. Yeah. Nobody.
No.
So it's totally relatable.
We're all in prison anyway. But there are levels of prison.
Yeah.
They pay nothing for living, but they have nothing to live for. And we pay for our statement in this jail.
Yeah. Yeah,
probably. It's crazy.
Yeah. it's an interesting view, isn't it?
Yeah. But we gave up for it, and we are just doing what's good for us and surrounding us and the people around us and whoever we love. And I don't know what we can do more.
Yeah. So I think like change happens you can just change yourself and your behavior and just act as a role model for everybody else, because you can change the world. And sadly, you also can state the processes inside the state, because it will crush you before you can achieve anything.
Yeah. That's why I left the place. Yeah. I was in a refugee camp for a year and almost something. And I was like, no, this is not my place.
Yeah.
I bought bed sheets and stuff, and shampoos and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I have my room. I'm sharing a room. There's an apartment. You have three rooms in it, and we are nine.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a room with three. We were three. We were two more.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave the room, and I come back in the end of the month. Just check if I have any letters, posts.
Yeah,
from I go around Germany. Ich war überall. I didn't give up.
You can say fuck. It's a German podcast.
I love it. I don't give a fuck. Amazing.
Okay. Then you left for Denmark and you worked at the shop, and where you did like a complete like apprenticeship?
No, I would say no. I was supposed to be apprentice, but I don't know who took care of me. No one. I was taking care of myself.
Yeah.
So help yourself, like you say. I was there. I got a few machines more with me on the road. And when the guy saw the machines, they're like, fuck this shit. Throw them away. This is disgusting. I'm like, okay. He tried to put me really, really down. I'm like, okay. It's fair enough. They're dirty. They're not useful for your shop. Give me a machine then. Mm-hmm. He bought me Cheyenne Spirit.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love
it. Shout out to Cheyenne.
Yes. I love it. My first machine, professional, amazing. I love the touch of it. Soft, realistic, just touches. Mm. You make amazing, crisp. He told me like, you gotta draw for me more. Show me what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I showed him some drawings after a couple of weeks. And one of them was an eye. I mean, I drew. And it was A4, on an A4 paper.
Mm-hmm.
Really big eye. He posted it out and it got viral. And
oh, really?
Yes, yes. He was he didn't show me at all. But he just booked me like 6 months in a row, small tattoos.
Really?
He made an offer, really small, really good offer. He's like, two tattoos for like 150 euros or something. Mm-hmm. and you see like all these people texting and writing, commenting. I don't know. It went really viral. Seeing my eye that I drew and put it up. And there I was booked for almost 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I started working there. I started watching all these guest artists coming around and learning from the artists who were existing already. So many of them really good. They're in a level where I wish that I had these equipments. I would be in there, you know, but I took it step by step, really humble. I loved everyone, shared with everyone everything I had and asked humbly everyone what they are doing or how to do this. And honestly, Danish artists, respect to everyone, but my experience, what I've done in that shop was crazy. Like everyone think that he is the one.
Okay.
Like, come on. Asking you something, share your knowledge. You're not, come on, you want money for it or what?
It's supposed to be sometimes it's like a rock star attitude.
Some
people are like that. And I don't get it also because all we do is art. And it's just that the stuff that we are doing is, let's say, it not completely useless. For some people it helps, but it's just luxury stuff. It's nothing necessary. Nobody should be, you know, like with their noses up in the air, like, okay, I'm a tattoo artist.
You know,
I'm way better than everybody else.
No,
you're not.
It's crazy. Like basically coming into the shop and then they barely say hi or good morning. Or we are 15 artists working in the same booth. Like you can see all of them. You can see all their clients. They communicate with each other. It was really fun environment, but still like unfriendly, you know. Very unfriendly.
Like very cold.
Super cold.
Distanced.
But we had like a warm guy coming from a warm country. I made my own community.
Of course, because
I love everyone, but still I have my own community. You're welcome to my crew.
But it's nice to be like that because it will bring you further in life. Because I mean, there's nothing you can do about life itself. So why don't we spend it like in a more positive way? You know, it costs you nothing to say hi and bye. And that's basically like the main respect that some people are really lacking. And then they complain about why they're not getting further in life.
Yes. And they're really jealous by seeing like, seeing the process. I came and he's apprentice. He's like, and then I made this community on the side that, they were like, jealous to hang out with us. Like,
really?
Yeah. they always welcome, but they never felt like, we don't go that level and hang out with them.
Okay.
It was a struggle again at the same time. Like, being in a new community, new friends, and it's a tattoo shop and it's a lifestyle. And I don't know, I was kind of leaving there. So basically I was the first one going there and last leaving. And I was working almost 7 days a week, like all entire time. Even Sundays, like if there was a client who would be coming, asking the owner, he would tell me to do it because, you know, it's beneficial for him.
And also he knows that you're not complaining because you are on a mission.
Exactly.
And this is what helps you.
Yes. He knows that I needed this, but he didn't give me the stuff that I wanted to do.
Okay.
Like he never... want me to grow. He let me be down. He never showed me that I'm doing something a good job or like what do you do with your apprentice. Honestly, I'm like, he was not the artist, that's why I would say he had nothing to do with me, only business. And I wasn't expecting that. It was for reason. I appreciated a lot and I really appreciate what he did for me and taking me as giving me this opportunity to work at his shop, and I will never forget this. It makes me who I am right now. But it wasn't the right treatment to grow an artist. He really grow a plant in a dry way, you know? And
so he says he takes care, but he doesn't.
He promised never did his promise.
He gives you a place and that's
Yeah, and it was a really bad experience personally with him. But as an artist, I didn't care about that much. I just wanted to be at the studio, draw more, watch other artists and do more tattoos just to get better and better. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm very proud of where I am right now.
You can be. Yeah, definitely, man.
I met my my girl in the same shop and we got married.
Okay,
yeah, she's the manager
right.
of that shop.
She was the manager. Okay, now the circle closed.
Yes. We got married, we got the kid, and yeah, we moved to Sweden because of document issues. And that guy promised me to fix my documents and to have like a resident statement in the country, because I had Bulgarian travel documents, and that's I would say I can only be away for 3 months.
Oh, okay.
I have to go back to Bulgaria.
Yeah.
And that was not funny. I was there for 2 years without going back.
Ah, okay. So probably they will just
take my documents for me.
Yeah. Them and then
exactly.
say goodbye, Mr. Homansky.
Yeah. Yeah, that was exactly the thing supposed to happen. But I still had some time in my passport because it was 5 years.
Yeah.
So I still had like 2 more, 3 more years.
Mm.
The thing was, he had to pay a lot of taxes basically on me as a refugee to work. But he never told me this. He never being honest and talking to me and telling me that it's not possible.
Yeah.
It could be possible, but he never told me that. And he didn't put the effort because it costs us also. So, okay, it's fair enough, but tell me. So I know where to go now.
Yeah.
If he can't help me what you promised. So, because my German lawyer, she emailed me after a year and a half, I left Germany. There she sent me an email by saying, like, you have your documents. Now in Germany, you have the right to live here. If you want, you can come back and pay some amount of money. You will get your bank back and everything.
Oh, okay.
So I told him, like, now I got to go back. You're going to help me. What's going on? And he's like, we're waiting and waiting and waiting. So he tried to keep me hanging in the moment where I really needed the truth.
Because like, you were dependent on him and he earns probably a lot of money from you.
A lot. Yeah. I make 5 tattoos a day, this offer, like more. And it was crazy, like every day.
Yeah.
I think I made around 2 million Danish in 2 years. This is crazy. And one of the months I made like 100,000 in small tattoos. 100,000 Danish crowns is a lot.
Yeah. It's really a lot, especially... Yeah, if you were used to before, you know, just to don't have anything except for the stuff that you're wearing, you know.
Yeah, that's sick. And I had a room, not even 2 meters, like
just the bed.
Yes, and I had no door, a curtain, and sick, man. Really,
dude, you've been through shit, man.
Yeah.
And you're not even 30; you are 29, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like we talked about this before, but like I think this is something like an advantage, because the amount of course it was horrible in a way, but if you compare everything, like if the sum of all of this got you there where you are now, you know, it wasn't I don't want to say bad because it was bad, but like it was at least worth something.
Oh, definitely. It's really hard thinking about it, like going through that all, and I don't know what to say, right? it's some memories, and of course you're building your personality in these experiences and in these situations in life. You get to know yourself more, what you can do, what you cannot do, and what life offers you and what opportunities you can take and whatnot.
Yeah.
I start to have a deep connection with myself after all this. And I know what I want. Something I don't like, I would not take it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not forcing myself to decide on something that I don't have to decide right now. So why should I take a decision? I just let it be. Life will fix it itself.
I think sometimes it's people doing it because they are just afraid about what can happen, you know? Also, like, this crazy amount of work, and so far they are just afraid what can happen. And I mean, you've been through hell. Yeah. You've been in jail in different countries, you know. Yeah, you've been threatened with your life, whatever. So,
and I slept on the streets.
You slept on the streets, man. So what is there left, you know? Basically almost nothing.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was reborn. It's a new personality, new life, new opportunities in everything, a new lifestyle, new tradition, new,
mm. you know. How was the start in Sweden? Was it easy?
Sweden was more like between Germany and Denmark somehow.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really good. I started tattooing after 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Tattoo shop.
Yeah,
which I moved there,
which is not too bad. Like
really
3 days.
Good. Yeah, I was checking around and I was checking because I have a really bad experience with the tattoo shop that I was in Denmark with the owner. He wasn't a tattoo artist, so I didn't want to work in a shop ever.
It's
where
not run by a tattoo artist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the only one was Judith. I can say the name. You know,
okay.
GDTS. Shout out to them.
Shout out.
Bera, the owner, he's a graffiti artist,
mm-hmm.
Lettering graffiti artist. He's really good. He's a very kind person. He liked my work and he really was happy to have me there. So I started my career there by myself. Like, and now in the shop, you know, as showing my portfolio, what I've done in the previous shop.
Yeah.
And it made me, I got some like 10,000 followers after I left Denmark when I came to Sweden. This
oh, really?
Is like 2018.
Crazy.
I have my Instagram in 2017, I think 16, 17.
And yeah. you're around like 50,000, like that. 50,
yeah.
000-ish,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I got the 50 a few days ago. It was really
congratulations.
Nice. I love them all. Thank you so much for everyone.
was it like, did you focus on building your Instagram community or it just happened?
Honestly, I didn't do anything. It's just, I feel my people what they want to see, basically. So I just show them what they want to see. I hear from them a lot, like writing me message. I contact everyone. I have no message and read it in my Instagram. I don't like to hang no one on.
Yeah, me neither.
And I'm sorry for anybody who is waiting right now. I haven't seen his message. I'm very sorry. That's like, yeah, it happens, you know?
Of course, because you're not the only one. And I bet you get a lot of requests from people. So it just takes some time.
Yeah, I try my best. I'm not like, you have to wait 2 years and shit like that. Come on. This is like a way of hanging a client and feeling like, okay, I'm a good artist. You got to wait for me. No, I will do my best to give you the first opportunity for me to tattoo you.
I personally got this experience because like I just checked out your stuff on social media. It was also Instagram. I think it was an ad. I don't know. Probably it was just a suggestion, but I've seen your stuff and then I contacted you and just asked
you. Yes, I made an ad.
Yeah.
I made an ad. It's been since I am sorry. Yeah, you can say
it. No, I've seen it and I was like, oh, damn, this dude's crazy good. And I just, I've seen that you're traveling and I just wanted to give it a shot. And so I wrote you and I'd be like, hey, man. Love your work. What's up? Would you like to come to East Germany? I know it's not, you know, the most famous area where we live right now, you know, but it's beautiful. We're nice people.
Amazing.
we have a good collection of artists and probably want to hang out. And then you responded and be like, yeah, of course, let's do it. And I was like really surprised. And when I fetched you from the train station, it was also like,
lovely.
Yeah, it was just sympathetic from minute one,
yes.
You know?
I appreciate that.
We had some food and stuff. Yeah. And it was it's so cool to have somebody here that's so positive like you, because I think from all your experience, it would be also understandable, relatable if you are like a negative person.
Yeah. Your magnet pulls my magnet. That's because you are positive and you're a good person. You pull this kind of
thank you so much.
Vibration. Trust me. So. That's the thing.
You think so? You think that
100%.
That, like the same will attract the same?
100%. You should never rush it and it will come. You can feel it. And basically nowadays, if you don't feel like don't feel yourself like a human. Mm-hmm. Feel yourself that you're a spirit, you know, and okay. That's what I felt in you. And you more feeling yourself as a spirit, not as a body.
Yeah.
Then you have deeper connection with people, even they are away. You haven't met them ever.
Yeah.
You just some words you can or seeing them in life, like face to face. You can see. You can get the first reaction from someone, and this and it is yeah, really definitely. Right.
In Germany, we say it's like the stomach feeling, you know, yes. with when your subconscious yes. feeling just 100%. Says, okay, be suspicious. Then sometimes it's.
Yeah, when your heart tells you, yeah. I listen to my heart a lot. Actually, the scientist lastly says like there is more than, I don't know, 2 million or 200,000 or 2,000 brain cells that is around the muscle of the heart. Mm-hmm. So actually, in fact, your heart also thinking. So this stuff, when you say my stomach and it's the heart that you're talking to, there's brain and the heart.
Yeah.
So my heart tells me this is good. I'm going for it. If not, then I will never do it. That like the shop, for example, when I open a shop, my heart told me this is the moment I'm yeah. going to take it. Then.
Yeah, sometimes I do it yeah. like this. Also, we've been to another shop, which is just around the marketplace here, like on the opposite side here. You can see it from here, actually, our old shop. And there was a time when I was just like, I felt that it's time for a change. And then sometimes I just do it like that I see how the doors that I'm going to open, if they're unlocked or not, you know. So if I'm facing issues, I take it as an indicator if I'm on the right path or not.
Yeah.
And the transition yeah. from the old shop to the new shop was so smooth that I was like, okay, this was supposed to be happening. Yes. You know, this yes. was like, okay, you're on the right path right
yes.
now.
Yes. That's what your heart tells you. Like,
sick.
Oh, sick.
And what is, so you're opening your shop in Sweden, you have everything there. How hard is it now for you to get like a permanent residentship? Do you want to become like Swedish resident or?
I got the residentship.
Oh, cool.
Because, I applied as a family member of European gathering. You know, my wife is Danish mm-hmm. and I am as a parent for a kid living in Sweden, having an address, I have the right to have a document. And I got in 2021 mm-hmm. first time, and there I hadn't the Bulgarian was over mm-hmm. of course 2014 I got it, so after 5 years 2019 was expired mm-hmm. 2018 I was in Sweden, 2021 I got my documents
okay,
so then
right after COVID hits
exactly, and there where I opened my own company.
Cool.
And yeah, after that, the show.
Really cool. Was it always like this realism stuff?
Yeah, but I've always did like everything, bunch of everything, like different styles from freehand Maoris and tribals to text also.
Are you good with tribals?
Yeah, I love doing tribals. I did it a lot in Syria.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm not anymore. I would say it's boring to pack. Yeah, that's
okay. Yeah, sometimes I'm thinking about like, because in the good old 90s, there were mm-hmm. a lot of tribals, yes. also the 2000s, but like, I think I've done like 3 tribals in my whole 13-year career. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I rejected them, but it's just because it wasn't asked anymore. But currently, it starts to rise yes, again. Like yes. There was this girl at the tattoo convention I was last, and she asked for something like a tramp stamp, you know?
Wow.
And
wow.
I was like, oh, fuck, man, the 90s are back.
Like this, tramp
stamp. Yeah, like that. But over the butt.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So this was cool.
No, crazy. It's back again.
Yeah, it's yeah. back. The 90s are fucking back. And I'm probably like, we should start to establish like a tribal drawing contest, you know, or like to do it. It's basically not hard to set yeah. up, but I was so. Thinking about this the whole time because like there you see who has skills. And
yeah. Yeah. I've done my own drawings. Of course, someone will come and ask me for, I want this.
Yeah.
But somebody, my best friend, I did, like half sleeve going shoulder, neck, and back of the shoulder blade. And yeah, I did it freehand 3 days in a row.
Really?
Single needle. It looks terrible. Like, you know, so he was drinking alcohol, and all the guys, you know, sitting in a room drunk and smoking and shit, you know. And we were like, I'm the only one sober, you know. I got pissed. I want to also be drunk, you know. So I drank as well while I was tattooing, and my lions and pack, they were like, you know, I don't know.
Sometimes you need to find out why it's not good to do certain stuff, and you can tell if you're not done it, you know.
Now I'm working on covering it, actually.
Really?
So I'm covering most of his tattoos now.
Okay.
Jody.
Yeah, sometimes it's horrible when clients come in who have a tattoo that is like 10 years old of you
or whatever, yes.
And then be like, oh, we never finished it. What do you think about finishing it now? And you'll be like,
let's cover it.
Probably rework it completely, you know. Happens also with artwork that is at least 1 year old or whatever. It's like the older it is, the more not impossible it is to continue it, but it will definitely look the same because you have won't look the same because you have a transition.
Exactly.
Like that. Cool. What are your plans? Are you going to conventions in the next times? Do you like conventions?
I start doing conventions, after I got my travel documents. Mm-hmm. And honestly, first one was really quite good, but, you know, the experience, as I said, it's not. So I'm not so into conventions, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's not a place to go and do a competition. Competing is not me. I like to go and check out and see other artists, how they work, and get inspired and meet other, like in person. It's lovely. And that's what I love in conventions. Competing, I don't think it's
me. I know. I think the competition stuff is also not for me because it's just something negative.
Yeah.
Because like the people are getting jealous, you know, it splits a bit.
Why?
And sometimes it's also not fair because
Exactly. Because
the results are are fixed before the contest, you know. Sometimes on some conventions I heard of it. I don't have a proof, but
I've heard that too.
And this is why I think it would be just, for me, it's about the social aspect, you know, just get to know people, connecting with people, networking. This is why I love conventions. And this is why people that are as long in the tattoo business as I am, most of them, they're like, I don't like conventions anymore and stuff. But I'm like, oh yeah, conventions, let's go.
No, a convention is like, it is exactly for that reason. When I was in Italy, first time in Milano, we're getting an opportunity to have a place there, a booth there. That was the dream come true.
Yeah.
And I met all these good artists. It was insane. Going into the tattoo hall, you know, you go in and you see this high roof. It feels like a holy place.
Yeah, definitely.
In Italy, in the place of art.
Yeah. Like Milano, it also has like, it was one of the best, or it is still one of the best conventions. Yeah. That you have there
in the world, I would say. Yes.
I've been there. I think. Well, I was really lucky. I've been there 2020, and 5 days later they locked down everything there because COVID spread heavy.
Yes.
For me, I don't know if I got it afterwards because I was sick for, let's say, the 3 days, whatever after. Just terrible, man.
they actually postponed also like 1 or 2 years.
Yeah,
the convention.
I think two. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Nice, man. Cool. Oh,
man.
I would say there's so much more topics to talk about, but our time is almost over. We almost hit like the hour mark. Dude, I told you before, but I'm fucking impressed about the way where you came. You're such a nice and humble and sympathetic person. And
crazy motherfucker also
like this, a good mixture. You're like the person you want to hang out with.
Yes.
So to everybody who doesn't know you, please check him out. This is also, we have this tradition here where the guest has the last words. Would you like to share your Instagram with people? Would you like to say hi to people? Would you like to say anything else?
I would really appreciate everyone who heard us until now. If you are still with us, this means a lot. And yeah, if you want to find me, my name is Homansky on Instagram. Seb, this was not the first. It's the first, but not the last, like they say.
Hopefully.
And definitely I will come back if I'm alive. Thank you for having me. Thank you for texting me and thinking about it. It's a big, big thing for me as a guest, first time guest spot in Germany. It means a lot, you know, coming as a refugee and now having this. It's my pleasure.
Man.
I appreciate it deep in my heart a lot. Thank you.
No, thank you. It was really nice to have you around. It was like also like a solid, let's say, last day of the guest spot here.
Yeah.
And also such an interesting character, such a skillful artist. I've barely seen it in a while. And yeah, hope to meet each other soon.
No, definitely.
Yeah. Next. Okay, man.
Man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
See you next time. Bye, everybody.
Ciao.
Ich hoffe, dass es euch Spaß gemacht hat. Ich hoffe, dass ihr euch gut unterhalten gefühlt habt und ein bisschen was mitnehmen konntet. Wenn ihr Rückfragen zu gewissen Themen habt, was auch immer, lasst es uns gerne wissen. Ansonsten würden wir uns sehr freuen, wenn ihr uns bei den gängigen Streaming-Portalen bewerten würdet. Erzählt auch gerne euren Freunden davon über einen Shoutout auf Instagram und anderen Social-Media-Kanälen. Freuen wir uns natürlich auch immer. Support ist kein Mord. Denkt dran. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder bei Tales from the Needle. Vielen Dank. Ciao.